When the subject is the infrastructure needed to rebuild America's economy, President Barack Obama isn't speaking merely of roads and bridges or even smart power grids.
It means expanding broadband lines across America so that a small business in a rural town can connect and compete with their counterparts anywhere in the world.
That'll be no mean feat. In South Korea and Hong Kong, Paris and London, internet users enjoy download speeds up to 10 times faster than commonly available here, at about a quarter of the price. And many countries have already committed themselves to providing their citizens with universal access. In terms of the connectivity required for the future of education, healthcare, technology, and commerce, not to mention downloading an iPhone app, the U.S. lags far behind much of the world. Hence, the National Broadband Plan, released this week by the Federal Communications Commission, it's an ambitious $20 billion, 10-year roadmap for redistributing the broadcast spectrum, maximizing bandwidth, lowering prices for internet, phone, and cable, and guaranteeing universal access to every mountaintop and hollow. It's also already under attack from broadcasters, business groups, and especially consumer advocates.
This is a great report by Waite.
Bruce Kushnick is the chairman of Teletruth, a consumer watchdog group.
If you print it out, it's heavy. You could use it as a doorstop. Or if you play piano, you could stick it under your butt and you could sit higher on the piano stool.
Kushnick believes the broadband plan is fatally flawed because it doesn't compel the giants of phone and cable to upgrade their networks, and because, unlike in Europe, it doesn't force those telecom gorillas to lease their broadband pipes at wholesale rates to potential competitors.
That's why we can't get what you can get in Paris or London, $50 for cable and internet and phone and a network that's 10 times better than ours. It's because we don't have enough competition.
Ben Scott is the policy director for the media reform group Free Press.
And the big difference is when foreign regulators tell their incumbent telephone companies to do something, they do it. When our government tells AT&T and Verizon to do something, they sue. And we've been tied up in courts for years over these questions. So it's not surprising that the commission just said, we'll deal with this later. But that's the fundamental problem. Dealing with it later is a day late and a dollar short.
Or not. The FCC's broadband guru Blair Levin insists these issues have been well thought through.
These people saying the porridge is too hot, and others saying porridge is too cold. We think we had it about right.
When it comes to stimulating competition, he says, regulation isn't the only way to skin a cat. Another path is stimulating the sheer force of the marketplace in phone, cable, and internet. For instance, by pressuring TV stations to surrender unused or little-used spectrum for use in wireless broadband. With the development of faster so-called fourth-generation wireless technology, he says, cable companies will be under pressure to match mobile's download speeds. Meantime, on the cable TV side, gizmos that bring programming directly from the internet to your TV for free may well pressure cable to reduce the programming fee portions of everybody's overall bill.
Companies like Apple or like Google are looking at very different business models that we think will provide a very interesting kind of competition, much in the way that, say, Skype created competition for international phone calling.
Perhaps, but the scolds continue to scold. The National Association of Broadcasters is none too pleased. Having been mandated by the federal government to spend billions for the white elephant of digital television, TV stations now are being asked to surrender potentially lucrative frequencies to phone companies. And gadflies like Teletruth's Bruce Kushnick, who have howled for years about the lack of oversight on the federal subsidies to telecom, sees just another feeding frenzy ahead.
There is no regulator that takes my phone bill or your phone bill or your broadband bill and says, all right, where's all the money going and how is it being used and where's it all ending up?
Come to think of it, the only interested parties to speak approvingly of the National Broadband Plan are the cable and phone companies themselves. The National Cable and Telecommunications Association, for example, quibbled with some details but generally praised the FCC's plan, which has some people checking nervously for their wallets, the Free Press's Ben Scott.
It's kind of like the health insurance industry cheering the health care bill. how big of a reform can it be if they think it's great and they caused the problem we're trying to solve?
Another question might be, even if the FCC reaches all of its targets, what exactly will have been gained? The stated goal is universal, actual 100 megabits per second of download speed by the year 2020, which is exactly where South Korea is today.